It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Little roller up along first, behind the back, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Tuned into Game On with Josh Silverberg.
Game On!
Talking all things sports. It's
Game On!
Yeah, Game On!
Game On! Right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Welcome back to another episode of Game On, live right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Joining you every single Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On WWSRN, you can check us out on worldwidesportsradio.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Periscope, Twitch, Spotify. We're all over the place. Number to call it is 631-672-3108. Of course, Speedy PD doing the producing and all that nature. I love that... Summer is almost here. It's fantastic. It's definitely refreshing. I love this time of the year with the weather, being outside. Of course, the last 2 days, weren't able to be outside with the smoke hopefully clearing up at this point. We're going to get into a lot of topics tonight. Of course, we are going to discuss both New York sports baseball teams. Pete Alonso, Aaron Judge, going to be out for a while. Why this is going to be a problem for both teams. I'm going to get a little bit more into about the Mets and everything of that nature. Both teams are pretty much screwed. I think the Mets are pretty much buried at this point. I said before the year, 85 went to the wild card spot. NBA and NHL conversation. NBA finals, I believe game four is tonight between the Nuggets and the Heat. Nuggets have a chance to really step on the Heat's throat tonight. To bring us back to Denver for a chance to win the whole thing. Florida Panthers, massive overtime win yesterday to make this a series now, 2-1. Talk a little bit about that. We'll get into a little bit of the LIV and the PGA Tour merger, why this is going to be a massive issue in regards to the players that are on the tour, as well as why I think Jay Monahan should basically just resign at this point, so on and so forth. But of course, we are going to start with a little bit of wrestling news, wrestling conversation. We lost a massive legend just 2 days ago. The Iron Sheik, passing away at the age of 81. The other day it was posted on Wednesday. The Iron Sheik was massive in the 80s. Of course, you remember his rivalry with Hulk Hogan. Of course, Sergeant Slaughter was the big one. The Iran-U.S. war that was happening. The Iron Sheik played the role with the, you know, coming out with the Iran flag. Everything of that nature and everything. Yes, Iron Sheik will make you humble, and he used to always say Bubba and everything like that. The Iron Sheik was as underrated of a superstar as you can remember. He is a legend, and the cool thing about him, too, was he stayed relevant throughout all these years because of his comments on YouTube and everything all the time. But don't forget, he also ended the championship run of Bob Backlund when he beat Bob Backlund. He's the one that actually gave the championship to Hulk Hogan. Then he was General Adnan when Sergeant Slaughter was the heel, falling in line with Iran and everything. He did all that, but the biggest thing about what the Iron Sheik did, of course, was, again, go outside the realm of comfort in a time where wrestling in the 80s, the late 80s golden era of WWE, the time WWF, really didn't have those massive, massive heel characters. There was a lot of babyface guys. You had your Bruno Sammartinos, your Hulk Hogans, Bob Backlunds. Those wrestlers were the big ones, and there were rarely any times you saw heels win the championship, and the Iron Sheik was the WWF champion for a little bit. But, of course, Iron Sheik is also remembered for starting the Hulkamania run where Hulk Hogan beat him for the championship. Also, don't forget the Iron Sheik. He got also, what's that, Frank? The thing about the Iron Sheik was, too, is don't forget, kayfabe was a massive thing back in the day. And I remember he and Hacksaw Jim Duggan got pulled over for, I think he was having weed or something in the car. And people were confused because they were like, wow, Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, a heel and a face, are together. This is crazy. This should not be happening. Why are they hanging out with each other? So that was a massive thing. But the Iron Sheik was one of the better characters in professional wrestling. He was a very good wrestler, too. But, of course, you know, I remember when my parents always tell me this story, and they were dating. They went to Madison Square Garden to go see the Iron Sheik face Sergeant Slaughter in a steel cage match way back when. So, of course, to his loved ones, you know, all that, so on and so forth. But rest in peace, of course, to the Iron Sheik, to his family, to his loved ones. Thoughts and prayers are with them as well. Go back and watch his matches. Go back and watch his promos. It's like Snug said, he was awesome on the Howard Stern show. He was fantastic. I remember when Hulk Hogan was on the Stern show, and then Iron Sheik called in and everything, and they were having fun and so on and so forth. So to me, you remember that, and you culminate all of that together. It really is a sad thing when you're starting to see a lot of these legends. I mean, you're talking Iron Sheik, Roddy Piper. I believe Paul Orndorff also has passed away. Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior. You know, these are characters that were massive, massive, massive parts of why the WWF got successful, you know, and everything. I mean, Jimmy Snuka, a little bit of a controversy with that one, Carl, and everything of that nature. You know, Kamala was another one. Obviously, Andre the Giant, George the Animal Steel, all these characters and these wrestlers that a lot of these people grew up watching are just no longer with us, and it's really sad. You know, Scott Hall, and everything of that nature. It really is. And then you watch a show like Dark Side of the Ring as well, and you hear about some of these stories as well about wrestlers. Like about, if you remember, in the NWA days with, you know, Magnum T.A. was groomed to be the next, you know, pretty much. He was groomed to take over Ric Flair's spot. And then, of course, he was severely hurt and injured in a car accident that just ended his career and everything like that. Dark Side of the Ring is a fantastic show. If you haven't checked it out, I saw the Chris Candido Sunny episode, and then recently this past week, the Magnum TA episode, which is just really a sad story about how this man was so groomed. The looks, the skills, the body, the persona, the mic work, the character, everything flowed with Magnum TA, and then it all came to a crash and halt when he got into the car accident, you know. And Adrian Adonis dealt with the same thing, and he passed away in a car accident. So, you know, but again, thoughts and prayers are, of course, with the Iron Sheik and his family and loved ones and everything like that. But stick to a little bit of wrestling here before we go to our break in a couple of minutes, and we'll come back and we'll do some more sports. Discussing a little AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling talk right now, Forbidden Door in a couple of weeks, and you're having two dream matches that are set up, which is going to be one Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay. Massive, massive match that's going to happen. It's the second time they'll be fighting since Wrestle Kingdom this past year where Kenny Omega won. And then now you're getting into the whole skill of you're getting Kazuchika Okada versus Bryan Danielson. Two of the best. What's up, Randy? Two of the best wrestlers on the planet are going to be fighting each other at Forbidden Door, which it will be in Toronto, June 25th. And this is the great thing about AEW having the partnership with New Japan Pro Wrestling, is that you can combine these two companies with these wrestlers together. And you're getting two of arguably the top five best wrestlers in the planet right now, in Bryan Danielson and Kazuchika Okada, who are going to fight each other at Forbidden Door. The other rumored matches, of course, I'm hearing is Samoa Joe, Zack Sabre Jr. And then I'm also hearing right now CM Punk versus Kenta is the other match that I'm hearing right now. But when you have these two matches as your headliners, Omega Ospreay and, yes, talking about Alex owing you a shirt. Carl, I know. You're going to see Okada versus Danielson, probably going to be the main event, I would imagine, at Forbidden Door. This is why this AEW New Japan partnership is going to work out really well. It's going to flow very well. And to me, when I look at it in this perspective, it's the ticket sales have done extremely well in Toronto. They're going to be in Saskatchewan, I believe, for Dynamite that Wednesday. And then they're going to have Collision that Saturday in Toronto as well. And all that nature. Really looking forward to that show. It's already doing great in sales. The pay-per-view buys are going to be off the chart. This has a chance, in my eyes, to be the best pay-per-view of the year, topping WrestleMania. And everything like that. We have, you know, but right now, those are the two matches that have been created, you know. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I always love when they do the New Japan AEW show, the Forbidden Door show. Because here's the thing. AEW has a lot on their plate. You have Forbidden Door in a couple of weeks. Then in August, you have All In at Wembley Stadium, which I believe has sold over 72,000 tickets already, which is insane. You know, 72,000 tickets sold already. Then they're going to have All Out. They have not announced where All Out's going to be yet. That's going to be Labor Day weekend. And then they're off again to, I believe, Full Gear in November. But they have a lot on their plate these next couple of months, AEW. And that is something I think that when you look into the future for how Tony Khan's going to do this, it's a lot on his plate because every 3 months there's been a pay-per-view. Now you're having pay-per-view in June, pay-per-view in August, pay-per-view in September. It's a lot. Plus the new Collision show on Saturday. But I digress. We're going to go to our break right now. We'll take two commercials. When we come back, I'm going to get into a little bit of the LIV-PGA merger. Why this is going to be a massive issue for the PGA and the money issue. Okay? The money's coming in. But where are they getting the money from? They're getting it from Saudi Arabia and everything like that. Jay Monahan, probably not listening, but he should listen to this conversation. Talk a little Mets, little Yankees, why both teams are screwed with both Alonso and Judge out. Mets are buried, I think, already. And then we'll talk about NBA, NHL playoff action. That's all coming up right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Game on!
We're back!
The juice is gone!
You're listening to Game On with Josh Silverberg.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here on Game On Live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network, and I totally forgot to make this announcement. And this is kind of a big deal. We've had guests on, they've all been great, and we have plenty of other guests that I'm working on currently to get lined up, but we do have a guest. He says he's confirmed. This is a big one. June 23rd. And I'm actually going to be in the Worldwide Sports Radio Network studio for this one. This is a big guest. We have from Barstool Sports, Frank the Tank Fleming is going to be joining me. 6 p.m. June 23rd. Live right here on Game On on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Frank the Tank Fleming, if you have not seen his stuff, just type in MJ Tank. That's all you have to do. Just type in NJ Tank. Yes, I believe that's what it is. So Frank the Tank Fleming is going to be joining me June 23rd at 6 p.m. right here. Game on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. It's going to be massive. If you haven't seen this stuff, from Raw Dogging with the Tank to Tank's Cooks to his videos of just obliterating all of his favorite teams and getting into arguments with KFC and Clem and Glenny Balls and Phil and, you know, Steven, if you haven't seen those videos with Doug's and everything like that, it is going to be a massive, massive episode. And Speedy and I have an over-under, excuse me, on how many times he's going to say the Mets are feeble on this episode. But we're just going to talk. We're going to try to be civil during this conversation. I it's funny because Frank is always somebody that I've watched and I've looked at and I've seen the content. And I'm like, he's got great content out there. But what makes Frank unique is just always his videos that he does on his TikTok and all that, that, you know, from when the Mets lose to the Dolphins, Tua getting hurt, to the Devils and during the Rangers series, to no longer being a Nets fan, not being a Knicks fan, and all this stuff that Frank does, he's unique. And that's why he's at Barstool. It's not just sports. I want to get into Frank's story about, you know, because he's from out west. You know, how he became a Mets fan, a Dolphins fan. I believe it was because of Dan Marino, he has said in the past. You know, he's also said John Gibbons should be the manager of the Mets. He recently just said Eric Hosmer should be signed for first base for the Mets. He was the biggest he was the poster child for getting Darren Ruff out of the organization. So June 23rd at 6 p.m., Frank the Tank Fleming from Barstool Sports is going to be joining me. It's going to be fascinating. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be unique. And it's going to be fun. I can tell you that much. There's going to be screaming. There's going to be yelling. And everything of that nature. So, and you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, it could go very well. Or, you know, I could just let Frank vent about his teams, about the Mets and the Dolphins, and all this, and just let him do his thing. But again, June 23rd, Frank the Tank Fleming from Barstool Sports will be joining me at 6 p.m. So that's really cool. We're working on getting other guests as well in the meantime. Speaking of the Mets, we're going to get into a little bit of the baseball conversation now. and talk about both New York teams right now. We've seen it the last week. We got word that Pete Alonso is going to be out for the next 3 weeks. So he's going to miss the All-Star game. He's going to miss the Home Run Derby. He's going to miss everything. He's going to be out 3 weeks. So he's done, I believe, with a bone bruise and a wrist fracture and this and that and everything. And Pete doesn't miss games. So, and then you have Aaron Judge, who made that ridiculous catch at Dodger Stadium today where the wall opened up, where the door opened up. And toe's probably broken. He's going to be out a while. So the question now remains for both the Mets and the Yankees is how do they get by? Well, the Yankees, they split the doubleheader with the White Sox. They lost 2 out of 3 to Chicago at home with him out of the lineup, which is not great. I think the other concern is Luis Severino has not looked good since he's been back from injury. So injuries are going to happen, but the truth of the matter is with the Yankees is all the Yankee fans will say, yes, but injuries are happening. Injuries, that's why they're not playing well. Injuries happen. Well, that's always the case. And this is the same team, minus Carlos Rodon, who, again, when they signed him, is another injury-prone pitcher, is out. And you look at how they were built in the offseason, the issue with the Yankees is they're always getting hurt. Stanton, Judge, Rodon is hurt. Severino's always been hurt. They don't have a closer. Their bullpen is sketchy. They don't have a third baseman. Donaldson's not great. Volpe has been very up and down. I think he's hitting under 200. It really, when you look at this Yankee team, and I still have them making the playoffs, and I think they do. I just don't think they can still compete with the Astros of the world, the Tampa Bay Rays. Even the Baltimore Orioles are going to be a pain in the butt for them, especially if they get a frontline starter. This is going to be an issue for the Yankees this year because the injuries have always piled up for them. But they always come back with the same team every year, right? Like, this is – and again, look at the contracts that they have right now. Judge, Stanton, Rodon, Cole, probably, you know, missing other ones too. Rizzo's always hurt. But the big contracts they have are Judge, Stanton, Cole, and Rodon. Unless I'm missing somebody else, you know. Harrison Bader has always been hurt. That's why the Cardinals traded him. He's always hurt. You know, you got Isaiah Conner-Falefa playing center field and left field at times. They got rid of Aaron Hicks, who was always hurt. Now Aaron Hicks is playing well with the Orioles. This has been the issue with the Yankees for a while. And then you have the Mets, who are just pure trash at this point. I hated how they went into this offseason. I think Billy Epler, or as Frank the Tank likes to call him, an Epler. Frank's got nicknames for all the players. Billy Epler did really a disservice to the Mets this offseason because he didn't do anything. You know, a guy I wanted them to get at DH was J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez is hitting 275, 280 with the Dodgers. Well, the Mets are stuck with Daniel Vogelbach, who's a quadruple-A player. He's not a Major League Baseball player. And Darren Ruff, who's already on his 13th this season. The issue, again, is with the Mets, it's their bullpen. You can see their bullpen. It's a disaster. Drew Smith stinks. Ottavino stinks. And there did. What? No, he's not. Is he really? Speedy, put him on. Hopefully he can hear me.
Put Snug, you are on.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. What is happening, man?
Oh, I had to call in because, first of all, I've got to do some shout-outs. So, shout-out to Kenny. Kenny, I am so flattered that you think I can play an old wrestler on the show, but I don't think I'm qualified. I'm pretty sure Earl, the wild man Marks, could totally do it. So, yeah, hit him up on Twitter. He'll be happy to sign up and do it. Second of all, shout-out to Josh's dad. I don't know how you haven't been on the show yet, but I love you. You have amazing takes, and you've got to make at least one appearance. Got to be in studio, too. Third of all, shout-out to Lyle. Dude made the trek all the way across the pond to see Man U, and even though I'm a Man City fan, I respect that. So shout-out to Lyle. Make an appearance on the show as well, bud. And we're going to go with the baseball stuff. So here's the thing I'm going to ask you, because you're talking about all the downsides to the Yankees and all the downsides to the Mets. What are the upsides to either one of those teams that you're excited about right now? 500-year-old Josh Donaldson limping back to the plate to either hit it out of the park or strike out? Who cares? You've got the Mets. I'm so bummed that the Polar Bear is injured because he is the best power hitter in New York at the moment. And I know that's been hotly debated on the show, but I think that's without question currently. This is what I'm going to say. Let's look at some of the other weird, interesting things in baseball. Like, how are the Diamondbacks better than the Dodgers?
Yep.
How does that happen? How are the Pittsburgh Pirates above 500? It's been 20 years. Those are the questions we really need to know. So go.
Look, Snug, I agree with you 110% in regards to what you said. Yes, the Yankees, here's the thing. Like you said, this is the Yankees team every single year. Now, the Yankees, I just don't think – now, listen, they had to pay Judge that contract. You couldn't let him walk. They would have gotten slaughtered by New York. That's the fact. But the problem is they're stuck with the standing deal. They're stuck with the they got Donaldson thrown in this trade with Minnesota, thinking they got something out of it. Minnesota knew he was washed, so they got that. And Volpe is hitting under 200 right now. That's the issue that I have with the Yankees. They don't have a closer. Rizzo, they brought back. Rizzo's having a nice year, but he can't stay healthy. Gleyber Torres has been a disaster again. Domingo Herman is not using his sticky stuff, so clearly he's not going to be at the norm. And then as in regards to the Mets, I mean, I will say this. At least Francisco Alvarez is showing why he was the number one prospect in baseball. That dude's got to play every single day, whether it's catcher, whether it's DH. Do what the San Francisco Giants used to do. When Buster Posey had to have a day off when he was the catcher for the Giants, let him play first base. Whereas in this situation, the Mets have it better because Francisco Alvarez could just be the DH. So, therefore, you can make this guy play every single day. That's the thing. The other issue with the Mets is this. Francisco Lindor has been in a mitigated disaster this year. He's hitting 220. He's done nothing. He's putting too much on his shoulders. Lindor, since he's been with the Mets, he's had two of his 3 years have been down years. They have. 2021 was a down year. Last year, he had a very good season. And this year, he's been in a mitigated disaster in the sense that he still can field the baseball, can't hit the baseball. And it feels like that trend started a couple years back when he was in Cleveland. But the thing of it is that Rosario and Jimenez haven't had a good year either. So I guess it kind of evens it out a little bit. But with the Mets need to figure this out, Snug. And I will say this.
First of all, the Yankees are bums, right? They're a bunch of filthy cheaters, and they can only cheat their way into third place. What is that? That is pathetic. And the Mets, like Francisco Lindor, I saw him. Actually, I was at the post office. He was on a wanted poster for fraud. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the authorities are looking that gentleman up as we speak. Maybe if you combine the Mets and the Yankees and they were like the Mankeys or something, we might have something, maybe. And even then, it's still, I think it's garbage. But we've got some exciting things going on. Look at the Braves, right? We knew they were good, but they're actually being good now. They stumbled out of the box. The Brewers, I think, are better than their record. I think the National League has some stuff that's going. And not to mention, the American League has the Oakland A's, which is also fascinating in reverse. They're shooting to lose 120 games. That's kind of spectacular. Nice. They have. Do you know what the run differential is for the Oakland A's right now?
-200. Yeah.
-200. The next closest team is like -88. It's the Kansas City Royals, and they're garbage frauds too. They were up there right next to Mr. Lindor. Although I do think that Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be the real deal someday. It's going to take him a little bit, but he's going to get there.
I agree with you. And I think the biggest thing, Oakland, they're out until they go to Vegas, right? But the problem is when they go to Vegas, what product are they going to sell? Like when the Golden Knights
got
there.
This is great because all the casinos are going to give away the tickets. It's not going to matter.
No,
they're going to make tons of money. I'd want to own the Oakland A's now. Owning them before was a headache. Now it's a good idea.
I mean, you could probably find a partnership with them. I mean, what, you live out west. You're close enough, so you could do it. Why not ask them? I'm sure they would gladly give you a piece of the team at this
point. I knock on their door every day and ask, and the security escorts me out every day. I don't know why.
It's just
something about fans breaking in. They get upset.
I mean, it's like you said. It's like you said. It's when the Golden Knights went to Vegas, they were they were a franchise that didn't have anybody yet, didn't do anything yet. They, you know, so they did all this. They drafted very well, and they've been great there ever since. The Vegas Raiders, albeit they're not great, it's still football. I went to Vegas last year in May, and the Raiders are as popular as anything, you know, probably next to the 49ers in Vegas. But the Oakland A's are going to lose over 120 games, possibly. What are they going to sell when they get there? It's really, when you look at it in a perspective of, here's the thing, this is not an expansion team, Snug. This is the team you have that's going to Vegas. There's no expansion, so you can't draft guys. What you have is what you're getting, and this is the product that they're getting. I understand the Oakland situation has been a disaster. They've been trying to get the situation fixed with the stadium, and I've been to that stadium. It is a absolute dump. Like, I went on the BART train, was in San Francisco, in the city, beautiful city, right? Go to San Francisco, minus the homeless people. You go on the train through the tunnel, you end up in Oakland, and it's night and day for the city on how it is and everything like that. Then you go to the stadium. It smells like urine. It's disgusting. It's probably right there with FedEx Field for one of the worst games you could possibly watch a sporting event or anything at this point, because it doesn't even look like a baseball stadium. And here's the thing. The fact that owners are upset that other owners are spending money like Cohen and Steinbrenner and these people, well, how about Manfred get on these owners that don't spend any money, like Oakland, like Kansas City, like Cincinnati, which, by the way, Cincinnati's become a very exciting team now. They got some young kids now that are playing very well, but it's really something when you look at where the stark difference of baseball from top to bottom is, And it's sad and it's pathetic at the same time because, yes, the Mets are not playing great, but the Mets are at least trying to put a product out there that is somewhat watchable. Oakland is,
you know what? That's the one bright spot about the Mets. I will give you is Uncle Stevie is the man in New York. He will bring a World Series someday. Hal Steinbrenner is cheap. He's best friends with the Coupons, I think. And he only spends money on aging stars who aren't worth it. So, like, what's his name? Oh, yeah, Kermit. That guy, he's pretty good until he starts giving up home runs when they catch the spider tack.
He hasn't pitched well the last few starts, though. He hasn't pitched well the last few starts, actually. He's been mediocre. But Speedy brought up Tropicana Field as a place. And now, first off, I love Tropicana Field. I don't care what anybody says. I love that stadium. That stadium is fun to go watch a baseball game. I'm in the minority for that. I know that. That is a fun stadium to go watch a baseball game. Love Tropicana Field. And the Rays deserve better, by the way, with that fan base. Where are they going to move their team? Is it going to be moved to Orlando? Are they moving to another part of Tampa? Because let's be real. Moving it out to St. Pete was not an ideal spot for them to be in the first place. And no, they're not bringing a team back to Montreal. That's not happening. I would love to see that, but that's not happening. But I think Tampa needs to find a way to stay in Tampa, just in a different spot. I think the biggest issue is, and I've been to a game, like I said, Tropicana Field, it's very difficult to get to that stadium. It is. Especially if you're in Tampa, the city of Tampa, it's pretty far from it. It's a pain. So I would say the Rays need to find a way. Dude, the Rays, Snug, you know this. The Rays are too good to have the attendance that they have. If the Mets had the record as the Rays did, the Mets would be selling out Citi Field every single night. That's the reality.
Well, sure. There's 8 million people in New York. How many people are there in Tampa?
That's what it is.
A million?
I mean, the stadium is in – yeah, but the stadium is just in a really, really, really crappy area. It's in a very difficult area to get to in the first place. You know, but the thing of it is,
I think in Florida, you can just take one of those fan boats and slide across the water.
I just talked to Jeff about that. I just talked to Jeff about it. But yet the Lightning saw it every night. Tampa Lightning
saw it. That's the easiest way to get anywhere. It's all water down there. It's all mush.
That's what it is. Exactly. Just get on a boat and just drive. You avoid traffic on 95 and everything like that. Who cares at this point? But Kenny, by the way, Stug, Kenny cannot believe you're on the phone. He's in shock.
Kenny, I can't believe you're not on the phone. How am I on the phone? You're way more entertaining than I am.
By the way, Snug, before I let you go, listen, you have to do Kenny this solid and find a way to play this role tonight for him. Yeah.
No, I want to do that, but I just don't feel like I'm the right one for the role.
I know, but you
– I think you could do it.
Oh, dude. I'm in bed by freaking –
dude, you're a wrestling savant. You know everything about the WWE, right?
It's too much. It's too much. I know too much. I know too much.
That's what I mean. So what better? Your credibility will be over the top, dude. It won't be like a kayfabe. Like, it'll sound like a real work. It won't be a shoot. Or it'll sound like a shoot, not a work.
Can't Kenny just get, like, sound bites from when she was on Howard Stern or something like that and just edit it and just do it that way? Or is that too much?
I mean, probably. Sheik was the best on Stern. That was, unbelievable. And Brian Blair has been humbled. And you know how he did it, but I can't say it on the air.
No, I was just going to say, we know. We know.
I mean, I'll say it if you want, but no, then we're all going mad.
No, we'll keep that between us. If you haven't seen it, go watch. I mean, but it was funny. They had something, it was interesting, when Hulk Hogan was on Howard Stern, and Hulk Hogan actually predicted that Sheik was going to talk trash to him. And then he was going to say how much he loves him and wants to get together when they see each other. And that's exactly what Sheik did in the interview to Hulk. It was the funniest thing because Hulk was like, he's just going to tell me I'm this, I'm that, I'm a pain, I was obnoxious. And he's going to say, I love you, brother. I want to get together. Snug, we appreciate you calling, dude. This was awesome. Don't be a stranger.
All right, well,
call anytime. And I'm going to get my dad on for you. I'm going to get my dad on for you. I've already talked to my father. We are going to get him on at some point during the summer. We are going to get him on, we're going to get him on the stream. We're going to get him. We'll get him live. He's going to give you all of his hot takes. My dad,
I can't wait,
has a massive amount of hot takes. Oh, Snug, he hasn't even scratched the surface with you. The amount of hot takes that my father has about the Mets and the Packers and the Bruins is just, and the Knicks too. It's wild.
Could we have a 2-hour special?
Yeah, let me tell you. My dad is the only person that could sit up there and say, I was a fan of Brody Van Wagenen. The Packers are going to have a better record than the Jets will this year. The Knicks
God,
should bring
I hope
back
so.
The Knicks should bring back Kristaps Porzingis. And the Bruins are going to and the Bruins are gonna be just fine. And my father could say that with a straight face and say he's serious.
That's because your dad's the man. So I wanna go shout out to Speedy Petey. You're the glue that holds the network together, bro. Shout out to Cupcakes. Shout out to Josh's cat. And I'm out.
We appreciate it. Snug the cat, ladies and gentlemen. That was awesome. Thank you, Speedy. Let me tell you something.
Let's not forget about the biggest hot take. Tim Thomas being better than Henrik Lundqvist.
And the crazy thing is, and Speedy knows this because when he was helping me out, my dad was on. and my father will say it with a straight face. He thinks Tim Thomas is better than Henrik Lundqvist. But again, my dad will sit up there with a straight face as anybody and say, Brody Van Wagenen was great. I had no problem with the Wilpons. Cohen doesn't know how to run this team. The Packers will have a better record than the Jets. The Bruins are always going to be better than the Rangers. Tim Thomas is better than Henrik Lundqvist. And the Knicks should bring back Kristaps Porzingis. And he'll sit up there with a straight face and tell you that, and he'll argue it till the end of the time. He will always do that. That's the facts. We'll always do that. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to finish up. We're going to get into the PGA LIV merger. Why Jay Monahan needs to step down as commissioner immediately. Do a little NBA and NHL playoff preview tonight. Again, game 4 tonight. Why the Nuggets could step on the Heat's throats, and why the Florida Panthers are right back in this thing. We'll get it all live right here in Game On. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Game on!
Game on!
We're back.
The juice is gone!
You're listening to Game On with Josh Silverberg.
Thank you, Snug, for that wonderful phone call. Again, you're listening to Game On live right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Speedy, all I have to do is just get Jeff and Carl to call in, and then I should get, like, the gold star at that point. The fact that I even got Snug to call in is, it's like a privilege almost to get that to happen. I mean, that rarely ever happens on any show. So that was awesome. I know I have spoken to my father about coming on the show. We are going to get him on. I probably won't be in studio because he lives about 40 minutes away from me. But we will get him on in studio. We'll get him on the stream. We will get him to talk about all of his points. That will last about over an hour. Speedy knows this. You know what I mean? And everything like that. But like I said, if I could ever get Carl and I could get Jeff, did my job then. All right, I'm going to get into this whole LIV PGA merger. We heard about it, and it was very shocking. On Tuesday, it was announced that after Jay Monahan completely trashed and bashed LIV the last year or so, said he's never going to do business with them, and for those that are leaving the PGA, and of course I'm paraphrasing here, now accepting of LIV. Here's the thing: if you're a PGA player, if you're like a Rory McIlroy or somebody of that nature, by the way, Phil Mickelson got $10 million to join LIV. Now Phil Mickelson gets to go back to the PGA, collect the $10 million that he already cashed in, and gets to continue playing for a bigger purse. Brooks Koepka, same thing. I believe he got $20 million. He gets to now cash it in and do it. While these other players did not take the money. And they stayed loyal to the PGA. And now, from everything we've heard from Rory McIlroy, he did not know about it. And listen, Greg Norman should take a bow for this. He was the president of the LIV Tour. Got what they got. Norman didn't even know about it either, though. That's the crazy thing. And it's weird because, you know, when the LIV players were up there at a press conference in London, and they were asked about taking the money about Saudi Arabia and the 9/11, they were supportive of 9/11, about taking that money, what are your thoughts about doing this with the fans? And they got bashed. Not a single PGA player came out all to support these guys. Oh, it was too harsh. It was this. It was that. This is a problem. We can't do this. We can't accept this. But now those players, DeChambeau, who, by the way, had a very douchey comment. I'm not even going to get into it the other day about 9/11. But that's what DeChambeau is anyway. How are you going to explain? They had a conference, I believe it was Wednesday. No, Tuesday evening with the players of the PGA. Monahan was up there and he spoke. How are you, if any of these players, ever going to trust Monahan? That's number one. And number two, how are you going to play with these players that abandoned you for money that people feel is basically from an anti-American country? And look, the WWE does business with them. NBA does business with China. We still watch it. The whole thing is just crazy. And then you're bringing these players together. How are you going to accept this if you're a player of the PGA? And holy crap, Jeff actually commented. But the reality is, you're going to get a bigger purse now if you win. But again, the fact that Monahan let these players come back after he bashed Liv and said they will never play for us, we're never going to talk to them, to Tuesday, all of a sudden, yeah, we're merging it together. And the fact that some of these players collected $20 million and $10 million and now get to go back after these PGA players who stayed loyal didn't get any of the money, how are they going to accept this money? Because let's call it like it is. Liv is running the PGA now. Now, again, this is a story in a few months. We're all just going to forget. If sports fans went by politics and all this stuff, there'd be very little to talk about. Like I said, the NBA does business with China. People still watch. PGA's doing business with Liv. People are going to watch. You know, MLB, you had Bud Selig talking with Fidel Castro about how double plays are turned sitting next to each other. So in the end, when you look at the whole spectrum of it, these things happen all the time. It's going to be very fascinating how these players come together as one and be able to play together on the same tour. That's a fascinating thing. All right, we got a few minutes left. NHL Stanley Cup last night. Florida Panthers winning it in overtime. 3-2. Chuck scoring late. Golden Knights had a chance to go up 3-0. And the Florida Panthers needed that game badly. I watched that game early on. I watched the whole game. It was interesting because I felt Vegas was dominating early on. Florida got their foot together. And you wonder, was it the time off for Florida that has hurt them? Is that the issue for the Panthers? Is it the fact that they were off for about over a week while the Golden Knights had to play a six-game grinder against the Stars? Does that hurt? Of course it does. You get your feet together. You got to get your footing in order. You got to get everything going again. It's tough when you're not playing for a week. The Florida Panthers, I think, getting that win yesterday is a massive confidence booster, especially for somebody like Sergei Bobrovsky, who's had a miserable first two games. And when you look at the numbers, was on pace to win that Conn Smythe Trophy with Matthew Tkachuk. But now this is a series. I could definitely see Florida tying this thing tomorrow, but who knows? Again, I had the Panthers winning the series, but Vegas dominated them in those first two games out west, and it wasn't even close. Great game last night. As far as the NBA goes, the Nuggets dominated Miami. It's almost like Caleb Martin has just forgotten how to play basketball at this point. What happened? The guy should have been Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and he's just forgotten how to play ball. Strus, Vincent, Robinson, even Butler. These guys are not showing up. And this is a massive problem for the Miami Heat. It can't just be Butler and Bam every night. If that's what's going to happen, the Nuggets are going to dismantle them because the Nuggets have more depth. And listen, we've said it every series. Milwaukee has better depth than Miami. The Knicks have better depth than Miami. The Celtics have better depth than Miami. The Nuggets have better depth than Miami. But Miami constantly kept coming back in every series and winning them. This is the thing. I still believe Denver's going to win this series. If they win tonight, it's over. If Miami wins tonight, I think it goes to 6 games, maybe 7. I don't know. This is going to be very, very, very tough. Miami has to win tonight. has to win tonight. They don't win, it's over. And the fact that they got, and remember, they were undefeated on their home court until they've lost. I believe they lost, if I'm not mistaken, two straight to Boston, and then they lost the one down to Denver. So they've had a very tough time winning on their home floor. Did they dominate Milwaukee and the Knicks on their home floor? Interesting with that perspective. But, Speedy, let's get to our buzzer beater right now. Thank you, sir. And my buzzer beater for this evening is I want to get a little bit into the football conversation, and that is Dalvin Cook being released today. We're hearing different teams that he's going to go to. Look, I think he's going to the Miami Dolphins. I think it makes too much sense. I think that's where he wants to go. There are reports out there that he is scared about Tua's health, that if Tua gets hurt, they're going to be in trouble. That's what I think is making him second guess. Look, I would imagine like DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to take tours, different teams. I'm sure he'll take a tour with the Dolphins, with the Cowboys, with the Jets, whichever other teams are interested in him. He's going to take tours, you know, Cincinnati, I heard, is interested. I'm sure he's going to take tours around all those organizations. He's going to go to them, find out what they are, what they have to offer, and everything like that. So, you know, a little surprised that Minnesota did get rid of him. I understand because he's still very, very young. But hey, listen, Minnesota is just doing what Minnesota does. That's not helping anybody out. Thank you so much to the fans. Thank you, Snug. Don't forget, June 23rd, Frank the Tank Fleming from Barstool Sports is going to be joining me. Check us out on worldwidesportsradio.com as well as Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, Spotify, Instagram, all that. You can listen to all the different shows we have on here on the platform, such as Sports Loudmouths, The Wise Guys, Penny Show, which is on Sundays at, I believe, 12 o'clock. Snug's probably going to promote it right now in the comment section. So we're going to do that. The Betting Show, Buffalo Bills, The Hurt Show. And don't forget to check out The Weekend Crunch, which is on 103.9 FM. You can listen to it on iHeartRadio. Thank you to the fans out there for listening. And yes, Doug, we are going to get my father at some point in. He will sit there with a straight face and say everything that I said this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully everybody's healthy and happy after all the stuff that's going on with the wildfires and everything. We hope everybody is safe and okay. Of course, any thoughts and prayers out to those that have been affected by it. We'll be back with you next Friday. Don't forget to check out the other shows. As I said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend. This has been Game On.
It is the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.